In today's episode of the No Right Podcast, we talk about the hardest geezer's gargantuan balls, where Jordan bought his first tube of lube, and how to get out of the funk.
Kamate matiko. Ah, kamate.
We don't need matiko. To do that tonight.
Is that not what you're doing? It's been that long since I played rugby, so I actually don't know what's happening.
He's been practicing, I know.
I know. Well, Hockey? Me and Hattie were watching the Australia New Zealand highlights. I was watching it on YouTube and the Hacker was on, and then she was like, anyway, welcome back to New Rep. I'm fucking all over the shop today, man. Welcome back to a new episode of the No Rep podcast. I'm here with the usual daubers, Evan.
Captain Evan
and Danny. How are you guys? I'm frustrated.
Why are you frustrated, Joe?
Just cocked up the start of the episode, man.
Finger out your ass. I need to
get my game face on.
You do.
Why is that,
Jordan?
It's the return of the Mac.
The second coming of Jordan Green.
Second coming. Not the first time that's happened.
Second debut from Papa Green.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it tonight, mate. It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Bit of context. Me and Evan are playing rugby tonight. First pre-season game.
It's been a while since you could have said that sentence. Me and Evan are playing rugby tonight.
5 years, maybe.
Jordan didn't have a beard.
Or a baby.
I would have had a wee goatee. Aye. That's all I could grow at that time. I couldn't actually grow a beard. I was trying, basically.
Puberty is an amazing thing.
I was basically where Danny is right now, 5 years ago, even though Danny is 10 years older than me.
Late boomer.
So, aye, and that was the last. In fact, so, you'll get an early shout out. He's had many on this podcast, Alex. He was, I remember I was chatting to him once, and I was like, I actually can't remember what my last game of rugby was. And he... Was it that acronym? No, he just knows shit, pointless stuff from years ago. He just remembers. Yep. He's like an encyclopedia from all things unimportant. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was like, I remember your last game. It was Newton Stewart away. We played in a 3G pitch. We lost. I was like,
fucking hell. It was 22 degrees.
And I'm thinking back and I'm like, so it was. I was in a 3G pitch at this mad school. I don't even know if you were playing.
That's maybe why it fucking retired you, mate.
And then I was like, thinking back, I was like, that was my last game. Because that's what annoyed me for a long way, was that I can't actually remember the last game. Like, I never left on my terms, if that made sense.
So now you're back.
So now I'm back. So I can then leave on my terms.
Do you think that's funny then? With rugby, there's always something you're going to do for the last time and you don't know it. You don't know what's your last time.
Yeah, that
could be it.
Mate, that's exactly it. And that's what bugged me for ages about it, is because I didn't choose it. I did, but I didn't.
Aye.
Because I had it at that point when I went, right, I'll take, it was just pre-season to just be like, right, let me get really, really fit. And I was like, I'll hold out till the season starts. And I went, fuck this.
Is this when you started doing my CrossFit?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, mental. Mm.
But now we've got you back.
Full circle.
From that evil bitch CrossFit.
Full big circle.
Full circle. What's happening in y'all's lives?
Damn. I'm going on holiday on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going on holiday.
For the first time in...
3 years.
A million years.
First holiday this year, first break this year. Took one day off, like, in a consecutive amount of days.
No days off.
If you're doing something. I've been away at it, and yeah, so this is the first time this year. I'm new into August. So...
When was the last time you had a holiday?
An actual holiday was actually 2018. I was away. I went on a trip in 2019, like fucking Australia, Bali, went in F stag do in 2020.
We went on the stag do for the wedding.
No, that was him just getting the stag do in the new, so we don't need to day one in the future.
yeah, that was a good trip.
That was it, 2020. That fucking, and do you know the thing is, right? I feel like everybody had a stag do except me, because I was like Granny Danny, weren't I? Everybody needs to, you need to fucking calm down, no, you need to do this. I just wasn't really in the mood for drinking, man. So I was like, and I had tattoo removal, they all went to the baths. I just fucking stoated about, where did we go, Budapest? I just stoated about Budapest, man, like a tourist. It was amazing.
They would like get up in the morning and go like,
everybody was hanging, man. I was like, I'm going to go.
Be in our beds fucking dying.
Like, I bet you get pastries and coffees and that. Walked with my fucking
Yeah,
cell.
It's a bit weird.
Like, aye.
Bit dorky.
But I don't know why. Just was the drinking. I think it was probably skint. I think was skint.
I think that's the reason.
Really the reason. I was skint.
That's the reason. But it still went.
It still went.
Aye, fair. Aye, fair. Fair play. Aye. Fair play, man. That's
my last time away.
So what, 2020?
2020.
2020, that was mad. I've been on
fucking long for like,
I was sorry,
eight holidays since
pre-COVID. This year,
I think. No, this year.
You've been on a lot of holidays.
It's not mad. I would probably be on the same amount of holidays as you, if it wasn't for Katie. I'm going away again. I'm going away in August. I'm going away end of August.
This month.
Yeah. It's Katie, mate. I would genuinely just have been, I'd have been on one holiday and not came back if it wasn't for Katie. I'd have probably went to Australia or America and just stayed there.
Aye. See, to be quite fair, it's Amanda that books all my holidays and stuff. See, if it wasn't for her, I'd probably just spend my money in Morton.
You're not even joking.
It'd be away days, Fife and fucking...
There'd be a wee blueprint logo on the sleeve.
I'm surprised you've actually not got a Morton tattoo. You got a shitty staff. You don't get a lot of tattoos.
For anyone that can't see it, I have a star available from when I was 18.
Do you know I'm on at Sarah though? For her lack of...
Yeah.
Because I'm like, birds are meant to be the ones that just abruptly put something on you. You're like, fuck's sake.
Million percent.
I've always been used to it. Sarah's not like that. And I'm like, you're too much like me. Start just booking random shit. Make me moan about it, but I'll still go.
A holiday.
Absolutely. Katie gets withdrawals if she's not been on an airplane for more than 3 months, I think. Every school holiday, she's like, right away. I've got 4 days. I think we can do this round trip to fucking Uzbekistan.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's a teacher thing. Laura, if you're listening, Laura and the team. Teacher loves a fucking holiday, man.
They all do, man.
Away constantly. You know, she even like, she says I get withdrawals or not. I don't know what to do myself. If I've not got something to look, a holiday to look forward to, I'm like, what am I to do now?
My client Alison, actually, shout out Alison, in the past month has been to Budapest, funnily enough, Albufeira, Santorini. She's a teacher.
There you go.
These teachers are fucking moaning that they're not getting paid enough.
Spending too much, isn't it?
Yeah, going on all these holidays. I'm only joking. I know the teacher pain. But anyway,
yes.
We were going to talk about some of our clients. We can talk about that towards the end of the cast. But what were some of the things that we're going to actually highlight?
Well, you've just finished up 75 Hard, my boy. Was that the last podcast done?
What was the last podcast?
Well, I said this to Evan at training last night when we were in here recording the podcast last week. That was my last day. I thought I had another day. But it's because I was like back a step on posting it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So I am a week out of it. I'm several KFCs deep at this point.
My man.
Fucking love it.
That's a secret thing we'll tell you about that.
Okay.
Several KFCs deep at this point. I'm in a pit of misery and despair. No, I'm joking. It's been fun, mate. Actually been at the other end of it. But most of the actual things I was doing in 75 Hard, I've stayed in it.
Mm-hmm.
If that made sense. Just not the outside working out as much.
Is that the bit that gave you the biggest friction?
Aye, that was the biggest bit. That and water was a bit pure, for fuck's sake. At times. There's sometimes when it was sunny outside and I was like, I would probably just take shit outside anyway because it's fucking nice.
All right,
you know what I mean? So like at the start, the weather was class. A few rainy days and that, but I was talking to a boy before and he'd done it through winter, man. That's a graft. That changes it. That makes it exponentially more difficult.
75 really hard.
That's 75 plus actually 10. How you're supposed to do it hard. I was doing it in the fucking sun. I'm like, that's a fucking doddle, man.
This is a canter.
Yeah,
75 may ball, man. What are you talking about? So I done, mate. I've wrapped up and
well done, mate.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm gonna continue on. They've got phases and stuff like that, which I think we spoke about before, and I think I'm gonna
have a break.
Have a bit of a break and then kind of roll back into some of the phases because I've seen tremendous benefits from it, more 90% so mentally.
Any you didn't expect?
No, I didn't. I did expect to be as tired as I was. I just didn't think I was fucking shattered, man. I was shattered. In fact, my mate Mark sent me a meme. He's seen that fucking guy. He's absolutely mad. He's like, he's like, ah, you all right? And he's like, nah, man, I'm knackered, man. So that was me. I was knackered. But it's towards the end, which is weird. And I think it's because it was ending. I was like waiting for it to kind of be over. And then I started slipping in terms of like, I wasn't drinking my water till really, really late. It would get to like 11. I've still not read my book. So I need to read it. Ran like I would box it off everything before 8:30 some days. So it was like towards the end I started like lacking. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And making it more harder than it needed to be. So
but still got it done.
Still got it done, man. And actually shout out Katie, man. There's at least six times she was like, I remember one time she came through and woke me up and went, "You've not drank your water." Woke me up at like 11 at night. And I went, I have. It's because I know I use that jug and I fill it up twice. But sometimes I'll buy like a bottle of fizzy water. I'm like, right, that's 500 ml off of it. So it was like 500 ml left in my wee jug thing. That's fucking busting the room. Swear to God.
The water
She's
polis.
Like, Jordan, your water. Because she knows how fucking pissed I'd be if I failed it. And I was like, it's fine. And I think she thought I gave up, but I was like, no, I'd actually...
You'd actually
drank fizzy water.
Good on her.
Good on her.
Well done. Okay. She kept me in check, man. She was like, you done your pages? I was like... I tried myself.
I don't wanna.
I fucking do it. So yeah, shout out to her, man. She was critical in getting it done.
Well done.
Okay. That's what you need, and that kind of support system and stuff is something that we could have a whole episode on.
1,000,000%.
Probably should, right?
1,000,000%. I did like a kind of.
Put that down.
I did like a five like things that helped me, and one of them was having people in your corner, because I've done it before myself, and I didn't even really tell her I was doing it last time. I kind of loosely said, she's like, you're fucking weird. Like, whatever, do we want?
That's the exact reply Amanda would give me.
Yeah,
well.
Like, whatever, fucking fine. Yeah, some other bullshit I've came up with. But this time when I made a bit of a thing, song and dance about it, spoke to my clients about it, spoke to my mates about it, you're like...
Social media.
I that too. Like, having that, you're a bit pure. Mm-hmm. It definitely helps. In fact, that's probably the biggest thing that will help you do it if you want to do it, is having either people do it alongside with you or people help you along for the ride.
Accountability aspect, yeah. That support.
Yeah. And that leaks into coaching, but as well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, people think they can do the whole thing themselves, but if they've got a coach there, mm-hmm. fucking hell, that's half the load sometimes.
If you could do it yourself, you'd have done it already.
That's it.
I get that all the time. Especially people, I've had a wee influx of people coming in, and then the past like week or two, I'll run a bunch of tests, and like people are, let me redo that one or whatever. And I'm like, you're not, or they're doing a power clean for the first time or a power snatch for the first time. They're like, they're frustrated because it's not perfect. I'm like, see, if you were doing this perfect, there'd be no point for me. There'd be no point you being here or doing this thing.
I would be redundant.
Yeah. What would be the point? You're meant to be shit at it. Do now. This is the process in which we get less shit. So it's weird.
Even like conversations on socials, you're talking away to somebody and you clearly are like, oh, fucking fate, I keep trying it, man. I'm on and off it all the time. But I feel like I know what I'm doing. I'm like, but how long have you been trying it? 2 years? If you go there, get no. Well, maybe you don't.
Apparently you don't know what
maybe
you're doing,
you don't.
So,
but it's genuinely like a ego thing, right? Where people are like, no, I know what I'm doing. I know for me it was, I was reluctant to get any fucking help with training. Because I thought, no, I know what I'm doing. Took about 6 years long and it probably could have good to get.
For guys more so than girls,
I literally took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, def, was guys hate especially asking other guys for help.
Because
it's basically just saying, I've got a tiny penis.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to admit. Yeah, it's a hard thing to admit. It's being like...
But it's obviously not saying that, but...
Yeah. Like, in fact, it's funny because coming back to the whole rugby CrossFit circle, I was in the rugby club gym before it got done up when it was fucking old school.
Proper
OG.
Spit and sawdust.
Aye, like I was trying to do CrossFit workouts in there. But I was going on CrossFit East Kilbride's website, looking at the workouts that they post on the website, and doing them in the wee gym, thinking that I was like, well, how hard can it be? I know how to do this. I know how to do that. Let me just do it. And so I did CrossFit for like a whole season in that rugby club gym, thinking I was doing it. But then I was like, do you know what? Fuck, I'm just going to join this gym. You know, I kind of gave up a wee bit. And then even when I joined the gym, there was still friction where I was like, oh, you know what? I'll still do like my own stuff. I'll join the gym, but I'll just do my own bits. I said, nah, see if you just go do the classes, mate. Like, just give into it. Just do it, man. Just give into it and just like accept the help. Mm-hmm. And that goes for more than training. I think guys find it difficult more so than women, potentially. I mean, we are three guys in here, but I think that guys can find it more so difficult to accept help in many regards, be like mental health or be physical health, whatever.
You just need to look at the history of clients to be like, ah, that's a fact. Like, girls are always the first to be like, oh my god, fucking the days being like this, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Well, you cut my fucking center for? What are you doing? And even you look at numbers on your team, a lot of the time as a coach, it's always been maybe 3/4. One, maybe 3/4 buds.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening now. Every new person that's joined has been a girl recently. It's like, and I had mostly just guys that were on the team. There's a handful of girls in, and then it's like once one joined, and then it's like, oh, there's girls here, mm-hmm. and then it's like,
and then girl I'm, club,
aye, girl club is strong, mm-hmm. yeah. but
it's a good trait guys could take for a woman. Open it up there, be like no messing up, no being scared, no getting let on, blah blah blah, no letting ego get in the way.
Do you know that's actually why I decided to only train women.
Is that right?
One of the reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Like I kind of vibe with them better anyway. Lots of feminine energy.
You're very feminine.
Yeah, you're a high on estrogen.
High on estrogen. Right?
Like it's seeping out your pores.
But
you get back in that fucking test, boy.
Yeah, I know. My mum's listening. She missed that episode. And if you missed that episode, you need to go back and listen to it.
If you missed the episode, Evan done heroin once.
Wow, maybe not. But no, I found that men were less receptive to the way I coach and to the way that my program runs and to all the kind of the mindset and like identity sort of stuff that we do on the program. Guys are just like, give me plan, I train. Mm-hmm. Watch football. Eat protein.
Watch football.
Uh-huh. And then not message me for 3 weeks. You all right, mate? Yes.
Aye. Have it sound? Aye, mate.
Aye. Aye. I lift. All right, okay.
I lift, yes. Yeah. More chest. Aye. Right. Literally, whereas training women is absolutely fantastic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you know one way I've found to... So I had the same friction, right? See, the more I share about me, my past, my story, the more openly I talk about it, it's like I feel like people that come into the team have maybe seen my story. It helps. They come in at that, so people open up a lot sooner than I've ever experienced. You know, just guys, I think it's because maybe they feel that they're like, okay, I can talk to him, man. You know what I'm talking about with us. So that's been, I've never really experienced that. So the news different for me, kind of. Maybe guys just my guy clients always just kind of come to me a lot sooner. A lot. No, I'm not saying they still fucking take like a bit of time. It's not just right away, like. Female clients, but it's definitely sooner.
Yeah, than it would be. It's maybe because they can actually just resonate with your story a little bit more.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Because, I think I've spoke to people before who were coaches initially, and that were beginning to be coaches, and like, well, how do I get clients? I've not got any results yet or any whatever yet, and I'm like, well, yeah, have you done something cool? Like, what have you done? And then you can talk about your story. So if you've lost 20 kilos. Talk about that process.
This is how I done it.
Talk about how you done it.
So here's like my secrets.
Yeah, exactly. So Evan isn't a female that's looking to lose 5 to 10 kilos or drop a couple of dress sizes.
I don't want to drop a couple of dress sizes.
But he's like, here's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 women that I have helped. Yeah. Here's the things that I have done. Mm-hmm. So even though he's not sharing direct stories of how he's managed, yeah, I mean, maybe his
he was a bit similar interest, like face mask.
You were also about 120 kilo at one point.
I did drop more than a few dress sizes.
You've definitely proven
exactly.
You can date. Actually, Chonky Evan was a frightening prospect in the rugby pitch.
Oh, aye.
He was a fridge.
Heavy hips, light hands. Heavy hips, light hands, fast feet.
Fast feet.
That combination? That's the holy trinity right there. Heavy hips,
the Deathly Hallows,
soft hands, fast feet. Same in the showers after as well.
Yes. What are we moving on to?
I can't remember. I had a really good salient point to wrap that up with. Oh, before we move on, right, so there you go. There's two perfect examples of how not just to attract clients if you're a coach listening to this, but just to resonate with someone. So it's either that A, you have been the person and you've been through it, it's like, here's how I got to the other end, or B, you can be the person that's helped other people do it, and here's the examples of all the people that have helped.
100%.
And there's like two different avenues. So people like that, oh, well, I don't know how to do it, whatever. It's like, well, you've either done, and if you've not done either of those things, go do them first.
Yep. You've got shit you need to do.
Then you've got shit to talk about. You know what I mean?
It's bang on,
when
mate.
People say they're fucking struggling to come up with content ideas as well. And I'm like, well, Alex and Moses said this. He was like, do cool shit and then talk about the cool shit that you've done.
Yep.
Aye.
Related to problem.
Fucking love that.
Literally.
That's what Gary Vee says, I know. He says, document, don't create.
Yeah.
Brilliant, man.
You're doing shit anyway. People think their week's boring and mundane, but most of the questions that you get off people are fucking boring and mundane.
Uh-huh. Your content's been, I've been loving your content because of the 75 hard shit.
Yeah.
You know what? It's been like a wee story.
Yeah, I know. It's that's because that chapter has now closed. I now need to.
Need something.
I get back to something else, maybe another.
Listen, was it 80 something? Rugby, 80, what's it called, the next bit?
Your new challenge should be you commit to every single training session at East Kilbride Rugby Club and play every single game this season.
Bar Tuesdays.
Bar Tuesdays.
We're going to do a wee story time with Joe.
Give me your glasses.
I'm excited for this.
Have you got your glasses?
He does.
So, a couple of episodes ago, we did story time with Joe. For those who are watching, have got the privilege of seeing me with my glasses on again. I can't even fucking see anymore. Hold on. What's his fucking name again?
I'll disguise it.
Do you know who I think you look like when you put those glasses on? I'm going to try and find the guy.
I don't know.
Do your thing.
Do my thing. So Hardest Geezer. Russ Cook, he has been mentioned a couple of times. It's only going to be a matter of time once he finishes this thing, or even during it, that we get him on the cast.
During it.
It has to be done. So currently, right now, he's on day 110, 112, 113 at the point of recording. But there was a bit of a story that happened around day 107. So story time with Joe. I'll read this out to you. And for those who don't know, Hardest Geezer is running the length of Africa.
The entire length
of Africa.
Bottom to top.
Project Africa, day 107, 60 kilometres. Going to be honest, the last few days have probably been some of the toughest in my life. On day 102, I was separated from the boys and the support van after some impassable roads in the planned route. In an attempt to find the boys at a village on the Plan B route, I stumbled into a rural settlement where the chief had told me I must give him money. And to give you some context as well, they're in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So they're not in like fucking Spain or something like that.
Spain's definitely not in Africa.
Spain's not in Spain.
If you know geography at all.
An attempt to find the boys at a village in Plan B, I stumbled into a rural settlement. The chief told me I must give him some money. I had none, so that went well. Pretty soon I found myself surrounded by lots of game blokes with machetes, was escorted out of the village, into the bush. My mind was racing. I've heard the horror stories, thought I might become one, emptied my bag to show them I had nothing but a half-eaten biscuit, gave it to them and ran. Spent the next few weeks bushwhacking through overgrown jungle paths, trying to stay off any tracks until I was far away. Made it to the village on the Plan B route to find the road that was also impassable for the support van again. Exhausted and dehydrated, I started heading back to the last known place with passable roads. Then two blokes pulled up in a motorbike. They spoke no English, but I tried to communicate with them that I must come with them to get back with my friends. As you can imagine, I was extremely reluctant. I also had no money, food, water, data, signal, or knowledge of where the boys were. I was growing increasingly concerned that I wouldn't find any of these things before sunset. So I decided that my best bet was to trust that the boys had sent these guys to bring me to them. What happened next was a 7-hour motorbike ride deeper into the jungle. In my head, I thought, this is it. Me, the self-proclaimed Hardest Geezer, about to get held in the Congo gulag before being ripped apart and eaten limb by limb. So yeah, that was some going. Eventually, I rolled into the village late in the evening where I was taken into a hut and lots of men argued about what to do with me and talked about how much money I owed them. I still had none. The acting chief, who spoke small amounts of English, came and we managed to iron things out. Get French-speaking Harry on the phone, which is one of the guys that's helping him.
Speaks French.
And find out that this is a misunderstanding. Also didn't know they spoke French in Congo. The boys spent the next couple of days trying to get together a rescue plan through some of the worst roads I've ever seen, bring some money for these people and get me back. We made it out and travelled back to the start point of day 102, this is day 107, where I ran 60k today on our new route. My head isn't fully there right now, but we moved the same way as always, forward.
I actually got quite captivated in that. You've been practicing your reading.
I actually haven't. I stumbled a wee bit. I'm doing better. I'm getting better. The more reps we get, the better. 5 days.
Wow. Fuck, I actually saw his interview. He'd done an interview on like BBC Scotland like this morning or something.
Here's your glasses.
And he looked fucked. Fucked.
Like, so that was 5 days? No. Yes.
Yeah, so day 102 he set
five
off.
5 days. And the two guys said to him, you know your friends, didn't they? Did he say to them about the two guys that pulled up?
So the two guys
they
that
say
pulled
to them, we're your friends
no,
or something?
No, the two guys that pulled up spoke no English.
Yep.
And he was trying to communicate to them. He was like, I need to come with you.
Got you.
To go back to my friends. Right. And he didn't know whether they'd Jesus. Sent them. So right, okay. There was no communication. So he was like, fuck it, I'll just jump in the back of my bike. And there for 7 hours, went to a different place.
Think about 7 hours in the back of a motorbike. Like...
But the thing is, before that, there was logistical problems before that as well. Like
the visas and
the
stuff.
The visas getting bumped and all that. So then they had to travel back to like Windhoek in Angola or maybe even South Africa, whatever. Namibia.
Windhoek.
Yep. Yeah, Namibia. Sorry, they had to travel back there, which was like a 50 or 70 hour drive, pick that up, go 50 or 70 hours back to then start running again. So like, bearing in mind, right? So all that shit was going on for 4 or 5 days. Once all that is cleared and settled, 60k run. Think about that.
Different animal.
Mindset.
Right? So
fucking
here's the thing.
Strong.
Here's the thing.
Absolutely
right?
Because
solid.
At the end of the day, he obviously, when he was planning the route, say, he didn't even know what he was going to encounter. No. Right? So encountered that. He's not even halfway. So what else could potentially happen? And he's still just like, I need to keep going. I need to keep running. Hard man.
Do you know what I find remarkable about being able to run that length of distance after all that stuff's happened? Like, I'm finding it super difficult is that how did he manage to run with gargantuan, giant, humongous steel balls?
Huge bull balls.
The weight of that.
Gargantuan. Good word alert.
Cajonas.
They must get in the way. Game blokes
with
machetes.
Seen him run, he does
the noise they would make, I know.
But this is the whole thing. Doing what you said you were going to do. And he said on that interview in This Morning or whatever it was called, he said, I'm going to run the entire length of Africa or die trying. So we'll see what happens.
No one's ever done it, right? He's going to be the first man.
He'll be the first.
I think he was also
254. Was it? This is again day 200. That's his people like day 254. I've just ran the entire length of Africa. And you have like machete stick. He's back. <all that.
laughs> But he said he was planning and finishing around about Christmas. But it's not going to happen. It's going to be February.
The delays,
I think
so.
That's what he said.
Oh, really?
That's coming for you, Russ.
Oh, shit. Jesus. And so the thing is, right, so you're thinking after all that, so see, again, I've spoken about the power of perspective so many times. So you've got a bloke like that, right, who's got a fucking half-eaten biscuit in his bag, no water, dealing with all this shit, and then the next day gets up, goes a 60K run. But because you get a fucking shitey email of your line manager asking you to stay on for 15 minutes, you're like, I can't fucking go to the gym today.
I just spanked the ball.
You're a piece of fucking shit. Yeah. You're a fucking dork. Like, grow up. If cunts like that can do that, then you can, like, do you know what I mean?
I saw a video.
Come on.
I saw a video of a guy with one leg scaling a big mountain. It wasn't Everest, and it wasn't
a big mountain.
It wasn't K2.
Conic Hill.
But it was Conic Hill, Balmaha. But it was something like that. One leg, crutches on, he's fucking running or hopping up this hill in the rain and like sleet and snow and stuff. And I'm just like flabbergasted that some people are so as lazy. The word to use is probably not the right word to use, but they're just so undetermined, if that's a word, to actually go out and do shit or do the things that they said they would.
Comfortable.
It baffles
right?
me. It honestly baffles
people
me.
People love comfortability, innit?
Is that a word?
That's not a word.
Mate, we are throwing out hundreds of no words today.
Comfortability, right?
No word alert.
So, like, people love comfortability, right? Then it's like the full idea of doing it and charging, it's like, the fuck would I want to do that for? And then what ends up happening is life presents challenges. And then you're like, oh my fucking God.
But I think...
And the panic sets in because you've not chosen to do it and it's challenging. It gives you that fucking resilience to then deal with challenge and stuff.
I think it comes from when you're younger, but because I think it comes from when, if you play sports especially, or train, or compete when you're younger, you're oftentimes like for the most part, doing things when you can't really be bothered doing. So like your mum's either paid for a block of this, so you're like, you need to go, like swimming lessons. Like, well, you need to fucking go because I've fucking paid for it. Like, remember me and my wee brother like going to swimming lessons and my mum paying for us to go, and she's like, you're fucking going to every single lesson. I don't care. It's like, you are going.
I will be like that so with my daughter.
So we were forced to go, and I'm glad because I can fucking swim and dive. I find it fascinating that people can't dive into swimming pools.
Can't dive?
People, I know several people that cannot dive into a swimming pool. Katie's wee brother's one of them.
I can do a bomb.
I can dive in a swimming pool.
It looks like a fuck. Oh,
but I can't. But I can't really swim.
Can you not swim?
Not really.
What do you mean? No.
Too much muscle.
There's either too you dense. Can swim or you can't swim. Like, I don't think there's an in-between.
I can't swim very well. So, like,
I get that.
So like when I swim...
If we were plonked, if a boat capsized and we were plonked into the water, how long before Evan would die?
Minute.
Yeah, you can't swim, bro.
Minute and a half.
I find that fascinating.
See,
especially for someone that loves paddleboarding as well.
Yeah. Like,
see in army, see one of your tests, right? When you first get in.
You were in the army.
Yeah, they put like full kit on... Bergen or the rest of it, and you jump out the swimming pool, and you need to try and float. 20 seconds, I was under. Shocking.
Fuck's sake, man.
Shocking. I'm better, I can swim a wee bit now, but I'm the same as ever, I'm not great.
Not same great. With riding a bike.
But see, I've not really tried longer than like a length or two, I'm like, right, fucking getting out.
I mean, the stats are stacked wildly against me, but I still think that I'd be better swimmers than used to. Aye. And I don't really understand. We're defeating a lot of, fucking statistics here and logic, aye, which is mad. But I think that comes from like doing hard tasks or stressful tasks. It's weird. So like, see rugby, for example, it's a fucking weird, difficult, hard and stressful sport to do because ultimately it hurts. Like people who watch rugby think, well, I don't know how rugby players could do it or whatever. And it's like people who played rugby, I think the same thing as well. It's like, why the fuck am I doing? Why am I running into somebody?
Why did I do this?
Full pelt.
See like, after full, see like, after hard, my like,
full pelt.
After the fifth concussion of my career, fuck's in the one where I forgot who Amanda was. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Right,
because I fucking love it.
It's weird, but then there's a thing that keeps funny. Drawing you back. And I was thinking that chain last night, and I was like, oof, like, I took a knot, and I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'm like, oh, cause it's fun. Mm-hmm. I think that people are either born to do and enjoy hard tasks,
mm-hmm.
like training, like working hard, like playing sports, like competing, like being physical. People like that. People are born to enjoy that physicality. They're maybe not born to enjoy it, but it's ingrained in them from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So then not doing it is out of the ordinary and weird. Whereas in people who have grew up without that have a much harder time ingraining those.
Because it's like a new,
teaching the older
new
dog
thing.
New tricks.
Do you know, it's really
it's
funny.
A new thing they need to
do.
It's yeah. really funny. You'll be speaking to some people like just in life or whatever, you say you meet them out at the coffee shop or with your friends, whatever, and you can tell you never played sports when you were younger.
Aye.
Yeah. How mad is that you can tell that you've never been in a, you've never like been in a team?
Been in a team.
Right.
Team sports as well is like another thing from individual sports.
Uh-huh.
But no, you're absolutely right. You can't.
It's bad, like, easily. I can tell. Put me in a room and I'll tell you who played sports.
1,000,000%. A 1,000,000%. But I think as well, like when we're huddled around and stuff like that and you're talking, like coach will talk and then you'll talk, and it's like you can see how the leadership skills that you've gained in rugby have translated into like how you are as a coach to your clients,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The way that you're comfortable speaking in groups, comfortable addressing people, comfortable telling people like whether they were good enough or whether they weren't. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because of sports in a way.
Definitely, 110%. Rugby, I'm obviously a very anxious person, like naturally, but I don't know where I would be if I hadn't had that exposure.
Mm.
Like, because especially see as like you're a young player, then breaking into the first team, and you've got all these older guys that are, more developed than you, they're bigger, they're faster, they're better rugby players, they have higher standards. It's really difficult going into that.
It's a big jump.
I like
rugby's strange because it goes from under 18s senior. There's no under 21s, under 23s, under 25s. There's none of that shit that you would potentially get in football. Like there's under 23 teams and all that in football and stuff like that. You don't get that in rugby. As you're jumped, you're fucking launched physically into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
You're still like, a wee guy, 18 or no?
Mate.
You're a wee guy.
Wee guy.
We're training with some of the under 18s just now. And some of the under 18s are like 16 and stuff, and they're like, they're big boys. That is
some of them are big boys.
The big boys are for their age and stuff. I'm running into them, fucking putting a shoulder into them.
That was my introduction to senior rugby. I was getting fucking chucked about. Do you know what I mean? Like, aye, you kind of have to, and then it's like sink or swim, and then that's when a lot of people end up not playing the sport. And I think that the sport of rugby, especially in Scotland, could benefit from two things. One, having like potentially like an under 21s league.
Yeah, probably. In theory.
And then two, playing through the summer, not the winter.
Aye. Defos. Do you know a big change? They should play on a Friday night, free up, which we're doing tonight, but they should free up the rest of the weekend so folk can have a life.
You think so?
I think it'd be amazing.
It does take as a big commitment on a Saturday.
Aye.
Katie's buzzing for it.
Is there a lower level leagues that do that Friday night games?
Nah, it's not
rugby.
Saturday.
Maybe football, maybe like
I think it's football. No,
it's always typically Saturday. And then like the youth or the female squads are playing on like a Sunday, typically. Mm-hmm. But aye.
We've went off on a tangent.
Enough about fucking rugby, man.
We like to slip it in every couple of episodes.
This is now going to become a rugby podcast.
A UFC and a rugby podcast, and then just telling
people. I'm not able to contribute.
That they're terrible people.
Is there UFC this weekend, Saljamain?
Oh, man.
Fighting this weekend?
Next weekend. Weekend after.
Sean Strickland?
What?
Sean Strickland is fighting.
Is he?
Is he in October?
Is he? So he is, yep.
And then people were fucking cracking up about that, right? But then, so someone posted in
the
comments.
There is fights this weekend. You've got Leakey and DeSantos.
Sorry, I thought the
weekend after.
Sean O'Malley and thingy fight was on.
Weekend after.
All right, okay.
That'd be class.
But people were complaining about the... Is he...
Oh, Ian Garry's fighting on that card.
Is he?
Aye.
People are complaining about Izzy and Sean Strickland fighting each other, but then when you look at everybody,
complaining?
Aye, people are complaining about that because they're like, oh, he's just going to fucking run through him. But then when you look at the top 10 in the UFC in the middleweight division, that South African bloke,
Drakus Duplessis.
I like him. He's injured. Every other person he's fought once or twice in the top 10.
Yep, except
and he's beat them. So it's like Sean Strickland's the only person at number 5 that he's not fought, so it's like fucking might as well fight him.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I know. Anyway, another tangent. So we were going to talk about. Hold on. Oh, point two. What is the funk and how to get out of it?
Oh, I like this point actually. When you brought it up.
Yeah, I felt a little bit of a funk recently. Training wise, business wise,
life wise.
And again, I'll tell you a cool story about something that Katie done as well. And I think a lot of things are critical in having a good support system that can help you in those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But I want to gain your thoughts and opinions and things like that first before coming back to me, like of the funk. And like people can either describe themselves as being in a funk, your clients might have said it before. Like, what's your interpretation of that? People might have other words. I've just been feeling a bit shitty lately. Mm-hmm. I've just been feeling a bit meh is a good example.
I'm feeling meh.
Yeah.
My interpretation of the funk would be like you're still doing the things that you need to be doing, but with no real oomph. Oomph is a good word. We kind of know what that means. Your workouts are a bit sluggish, a bit slow. The effort's not really there. It was like, if we're going to talk about workouts, it's like the last kind of thing you want to do. Motivation, which we know isn't an amazing currency in general, isn't high. And that applies to like the choices and stuff that you make as well. So that might be like... with like your missus or your boyfriend or whatever, you might just fucking, oh, we'll just have a takeaway tonight, we'll just do this. Your nutrition's not brilliant. And anything that could be encapsulated with that kind of thought process.
I think that's perfectly put. It's exactly all the things I felt.
Am I in your head?
Yeah,
I think so. Aye.
What's your interpretation?
I think you could put it in the same bracket as like boredom, low motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Boredom, I think sometimes the repetitiveness and like a funk comes usually to someone who's doing the things, and it's like a funk is like the way I just look at it is like boredom. So it's like you've been doing the same things, and it's not like you're not doing them. It's just you're kind of bored because everything's happening. Same things are happening. It's quite repetitive. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing or a good thing. I think that's what it is. It's like a level of boredom.
I'm glad I asked you to what your interpretation of that was, because it's opened my eyes and gave me a little bit more insight to two different things that I didn't particularly think about until you just said them.
Well,
the boredom thing, never really considered that at all. And then you touched on it again, but then the first thing that you said was that you're still doing this stuff, but it's just not with the right amount of, like, that's exactly what was happening to me. I think towards the tail end of 75 and after 75 had ended, I was just like, for fuck's sake, man. And I was like,
it's literally like, fuck's sake,
man. Fuck's sake, man. I'm so fun. I think it was a couple of things for me particularly that was like, I think started to grate on me, was that I wasn't really planning my weeks as well. I've had a little bit of an injury bother me for a wee while, and that was affecting training. So that's another reason it was making training feel meh, a bit shitty. And then you're right, doing the same things every single day for 75 days. I must have been bored.
What?
But then the thing that I was thinking about was that the direction that I once had at the start was just drastically changing, because the goal that I was aiming towards, that I was getting closer to, that I knew I would make, was obviously getting closer. And it wasn't like this feeling of like, yes, I've fucking finally done it. It was kind of like, oh,
relief.
No, like, now what? No. Like, no. What am I doing? What now? Like, what's the, I'm injured, I'm like this. Like, I've got a competition that I'm meant to be doing in October. It's like, where the way my fucking elbow's been, I'm like, my scores might not even be good enough for me to qualify. And so I'm just thinking about all these things. I'm like, ugh, I'm just pure deflated with all, I guess. And I think it's, and I've spoke to people before who have done huge events, like ultras and stuff like that, where after they do like a large scale or a really tough event where they've been training for a long period of time to get to, and as soon as they've done it and they've completed it, they have almost a sense of almost somewhat depression after it, like post-comp depression.
I got that at Murrayfield.
I was just about to ask you, like, how did you feel after that cup final? And especially not getting the result that you wanted, like, there must have been a bit of like...
Yeah, I felt shattered after it, not tired. Just
I'm knackered, man.
Just knackered.
But just up my neck.
That's the old age, mate. And just a bit. the physio one. Yeah. The physio one. Just a bit broken after it. I felt like, because literally for weeks and months, that was the only thing I was thinking about. So even before we were in the final, when we were in the quarter, when we were in the semi.
Yeah, I think what if we get to
Murrayfield, it's all we were chatting about, all the rugby team was chatting about. Oh, I was chatting about the fucking Amanda. Mm-hmm. Like, and then as soon as it was over, it was over. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
Like,
there's
then,
this lull, there's this sense of like, the sense of urgency you had in the lead up to the thing is gone. So that sense of urgency that was pulling you through the sore times, the shit times, the fucking... the times when you couldn't be asked, that's not there anymore because there's nothing to be urgent for. So I think that when you compile the boredom aspect of it, when you compile the fucking, the lack of direction or the urgency, and then the thing, so the lack of direction was the thing that I was going to get onto with the Katie stories, where I get down, I was just a texter, I was on my way home. And it was actually that one of the Thursdays I didn't have a great training session that day, and I was just in all my head, and I texted myself. She's like, how was it? I was like, I had a bit of a shite day, I won't lie. And I never say that. So she was like, alarm bells must have been fucking going off in her head, going, wah, fuck, something's wrong. Nah, so when I got in, she like got my notebook, and then there's a notebook I write down shit that I'm doing that day, and then she wrote it out, and then she wrote out, right, she wrote out 1, 2, 3, and then like business goals, and then 1, 2, 3, personal goals, and then 1, 2, 3 gym goals for August. And she went, go. And I was like, fuck off. And she was like, nah. She's like, you're doing it. So I thought, fucking fine, wrote it down. And I'm like, I can't believe you're making me do this. And as we're doing it, we're laughing, we're talking about it. She goes, like, right, read them out. She fucking made me read them out and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Especially schooled you, didn't she?
Honestly, mate, I swear to God she's done this. And I've got the fucking thing there. And I even referred to it last night when I was writing down my notes for what to do today. And I was like, right, I'm on track for fucking doing this. And then that's helped pull me out of it, of having direction again. Mm-hmm. So like, and I think that because again, it is exhausting, like accelerating to one thing and to one place and then if you get there, more often than not, you're not going to feel the things that you were anticipating feeling. And especially if you maybe encounter a loss at the end of it, mm-hmm. or you don't hit your goal, you don't hit your targets. Doesn't meet your expectations, exactly. So then it's like, at the end of the day, fucking things keep churning. So then it's like, right, okay, you just need to simply move on to the next.
What's the next thing?
You give yourself that sense of mm-hmm. urgency again so that you can then continue mm-hmm. to pull yourself forward and keep moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest thing that happened. And again, that all comes down to having a support system. So if you've not got a partner that does that, does one of your mates do it? Does one of your inner circle do it? Does your mentor do it? Does your coach do it? Something like that. And I think that's why everybody has to have somebody that has got the best interest
in us. You need to have, like, I've heard it fucking named different things in different circles, but like a genius network or a boardroom mm-hmm. or something like that. People that you can rely on to keep you accountable, to bounce ideas off, to be in your corner. Do you mean that's massive, but it should be more than one person.
Yeah.
Like I would go to both of you guys.
Yeah.
I would go to my business mentor. Mm-hmm. I would go to Amanda. And there's a couple of other choice people that I would go to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's massive. See, if you don't know who those people are, that's a wee red flag. You need to go do that. You need to go find out who those people are.
And this is the thing. Each person will solve a different problem or help you solve a different problem.
Oh, definitely.
You may have someone that might help you out with a money problem. You might have someone that might help you out with a relationship problem. You might have someone different that helps you out with a fitness or gym problem. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not going to be the same person that you just... And again, that's a lot of expectation to have on. Some people might be putting too much pressure on their partners. Like, you're the reason why I can't train well, eat well, fucking do this, do that, because they're expecting that one person to be able to do everything. Mm. And that's just not the case. So that's why, like, if I'm needing help things business-wise, like, yeah, it's good to talk to Katie about that, for example, but...
She's never done it.
The thing is, it's not as if she doesn't know any of the issues or problems or couldn't help, but it's not what I would lean on for her for support.
Yeah. I don't speak to Amanda about business at all.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to speak to her about, because she doesn't have any of our kind of experience in mm-hmm. there. So that the insight and stuff that she gives me is from like an uninformed, like kind of background mm-hmm. with great intentions. With the best intentions. Yeah. But I'm like, no, that's not what I need.
And the thing is...
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean with that?
It's 1,000,000%. But the thing is as well, the advice they could be giving you is sound.
Perfect. It's good advice.
It's perfect advice, but it doesn't matter. It's like my gran take me through a bodybuilding session. Right? She might know. She might have wrote Arnold's encyclopedia of boxing, of bodybuilding. She might have wrote it for Arnold.
Both her fuck knees.
Right? But... Like, I'm not going to listen to her, but grand, fuck up. Like, fuck up. Do you know what I mean? I'll be like, fucking, you do it. Get the kettle on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be up in a minute.
But I think though, is like, you're in a linear thought process, no matter what. So just having somebody, even if it is somebody that maybe isn't going to give you the best advice, it can break the linear thought process. So I think just having somebody, obviously, there's people that are better to go to, like used to are better to go for business advice than probably anybody I've got in my circle. But I still think just getting it for somebody can break the linear thought process, because we're just in that like linear thought fucking process. I keep being the same thing. Right? But do you know what I mean? Like you're going that way, right?
And tunnel vision.
It doesn't matter. Like you're not getting any new thoughts. It's so your thoughts that are going.
So even if someone was to give you ill advice,
yes,
you're like, that's not it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you're, no matter what, you just getting that disruptor put in can be great.
Yeah.
So that's how it's important to have somebody.
Linear
thought process.
Do you know who I can't? I can't go to my mum for any advice. I love her to bits. I love her to bits. But I find that whenever my mum gives me advice, like it comes from her like worries to protect me. Does that make sense?
Course, yeah.
So then it just annoys me. Uh-huh. My mum's like, oh, Evan, should you really be driving that big car? Like, would you not prefer this? Would you not prefer this 1 liter Corsa? It'd be safer. Like, stuff like that. Mum, like, I can't do it. Uh-huh. But aye.
No, I can completely agree with what you're saying. It is weird. I think I've heard people talk about this before, and it was like, again, I don't know why they used a teacher as an example, but it was like a teacher could give you the same advice as Warren Buffett for investing. It's like, you're going to listen to the teacher? It's like, no, you're talking about your teacher. Like, why would I listen to you for investing advice? Oh, yeah. So let me listen, say the same thing. Could give you better advice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mama just said, you just need to do what makes you happy, son. That's fucking hell, man.
That's pretty much what she said.
Thank you, pal.
I mean, you're no rag. Do you know what I mean? Like, mate, come on.
That is true. That's actually probably the only advice my mum's ever given. Just do it makes you happy. In fact, the one piece of advice my mum, and this is quite cliche, piece of advice she gave me when I was really, really, really young. She went, if someone ever hits you, you hit them back harder. That's all she ever said. That's all I can remember. Like, actual pure sit down advice. Because I remember someone fucking whacked me in school. You hit them back harder. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
My papa used to just say, you stick the heat in them, son. And he'd be serious. No joke. You stick the heat in them, son.
That's flat,
okay.
So Glasgow.
Right.
It's weird. I've never actually, when I think about it, it's like I've never actually had like pure, at least I don't think, direct advice like from my parents, if that makes sense. But they've gave me enough to know what I feel like I know.
Aye.
Do you know,
did you ever have the talk?
No.
See, when I see it fucking telly, right?
Never.
They have the talk. And my man dad never sat me down and says, that's a fanny, that's a baby. Like, I was like,
you've been putting it in the wrong hole all these years.
So
Danny's been trying to fucking put it in his own ass.
These feelings are gonna come and all that, and I'm like, I didn't get any of that. Like,
never had that in my life. But we just had the boom of the internet, and then people used to fucking Bluetooth porn to each other. And I think that's how people learned.
Tucson Ericsson and for red.
Sitting in school with the phones and talking to each other.
I remember the first time I saw porn, and it was my mate Richie in school. Mate, you see a fucking video I've got on my computer, right? We walked back from school, all the way to his, in his fucking bedroom. They put it on, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
I swear to God.
My experience before it was literally like finding it in the bushes.
I used to find pornos in the bushes all the time.
Who put porn magazines in trees? I don't get it. Were they planted there so that kids could find it on purpose?
Maybe it was somebody's dad stayed in the fucking...
What, going out for a chug,
right,
in the bushes?
No. Right, I'm going to put it there. I know the thing about there.
Aye, but it's weird, like there was always porn found
in bushes, in bags bushes. It.
Aye.
Innit?
Pages were always stuck together.
Oh, Daniel.
I remember I used to walk into, there's a shop I used to do my paper round for my first ever job. And then how when you walk into newsagents and then up the top, they've got the fucking...
I was just going to mention them.
Yeah.
The porn. I remember when I was coming in and collect the papers, I'd just fucking sit and stare at the top bit.
I'm pretend like, you're not looking
I'm
at
like 12,
that.
13. No, I made it obvious. And then Major, the boy that owned the shop, he's like, oh, you're naughty. Yeah. Why are you looking at the woman, eh? And I'm sitting there looking at
that. Yeah, I'm looking at the woman.
No, it was the... What was the motor magazines called? I used to have them. It was the souped up motors with the buds in them.
Oh, they had a motorbike one as well. Them. Was it FHM? No.
That was one.
There was Nuts as well. My Nuts. Nuts magazine and then Zoo.
Zoo.
Oh, fucking throwback there, man. I remember being in a rugby tour in Cardiff, actually, going into WH Smith and then buying a fucking, a bottle of fucking Coke Zero and it wasn't even Coke Zero, it was like a bottle of fucking Diet Coke and a Zoo magazine.
Brilliant.
And then just fucking putting it on the thing, and you was looking at me and I was like, she was like, paid for it. Like,
do you remember the first time you had to buy condoms in a shop?
Aye. Nah, I never bought them. It was a pharmacy.
Freebies.
Aye, you can get them free from the pharmacy. I also used to work in a pharmacy at the time as well, so I used to just fucking get my pals in that.
No, I was Asda. I remember it.
Asda? I used to go buy them.
I remember it. Asda, and it was a self-checkout, but they used to come up.
Who, me? Asda. Shagger?
But they used to come up, I'm sure, when you were buying
If you got it from self-checkout, yeah. Then
I was like, oh my God, because I was fucking hoping that nobody would see me. It was to go on holiday. I'm sure it was to go on holiday. It was to go on my first holiday. To be fair, that's not really... I'm going to say that. Anyway.
Remember the first time I had to buy a lube, but remember that.
The tangents in this podcast have been fucking...
I actually got that as a present. Like, I half like a birthday at the time, aye.
That was an embarrassing moment. So just fucking shot him. Keep your cucumbers.
With your mum.
Snuck it in there. So I didn't put it there. What are you fucking talking about? Anyway, I think we're going to close on some positive notes, maybe highlighting a few clients.
Yes.
A few client wins, a few client bonuses, so we can wrap that up and that'll close out the podcast. So
yes.
I have my good guy, Paige. I can never pronounce her surname.
Go on.
Leroy. Paige Leroy. She knows exactly who she is.
I think I know Paige.
She's a legend.
I know Paige.
Absolute legend.
I know Paige from the skate park.
I'm not surprised.
She's no bullshit.
Skate park vibes.
Hi, Paige. That's fucking Paige. Nuts. I didn't know you.
Messaged me this morning, £29 down. She's getting married soon, having the most amazing journey so far. Fucking, here we go, hen. Shout out, Paige.
Shout out, Paige. Paige, we know each other. Anyway, Danny. What are you doing with your hands there?
I don't know. The other weekend, I had the Reshape Half Mara.
Oh, I've seen that.
And we had myself, Lois, Christopher, Martin, all done a half marathon. It was Lois and Martin's first half marathon. First time Lois had run over 12K. First time she ran over 12K. Smashed it. But Martin, I could big up the Theorem for different reasons, but Martin, first half marathon. He'd 6 months ago, he joined the team. First half marathon smashed, £24 down, and like done a full 180 with like weekends instead of just fucking like maybe like the usual. Do you know what I mean? I'm just fucking might as well just get mad at this weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's done a full 180 on his control around weekends, habits, which is then just translated into his life. So it's a shout out for the full 180 he's done with his fucking life. The £24 you've lost, my man. In the fucking half marathon you just smashed on 6 months, bro.
Here we go.
I'm done.
What about you?
Mine is my boy Max. Shout out Max. Max has been quite a cool guy that's joined my team from a community side of things. He's always the happiest lad about. He's just got such an energy about him. So he joined a good wee while ago and he competed in a competition last year called Clash of Clans, which is a kind of team competition. And then he did it again this year. And this year he just felt like a completely different human. His numbers went through the roof, squat, bench, deadlift, snatch, clean and jerk, all that. And there was a cool picture as well. I'll see if I can try and pop it up. There was a picture between what it was like last year at Clash of Clans and then this year. And obviously that's not really my thing. I'm not a transformation type guy, but to see it happen without focusing on that happen is quite cool. And he just got a promotion. He's like, oh, he got a new job. He got a new job offer as well.
Well done, sir.
So that's fucking sick.
Love that.
So shout out, Max.
Shout out, Max.
Anyway, happy enough?
Yes.
I'm happy with that. That was a lot of tangents.
A lot of tangents.
A little bit of value.
Great episode.
Great episode.
Loved that.
Very happy.
Aye.
What episode number was that?
I'll see you.
Oh, that was 52. I didn't even say it. There I don't think it's that. 53?
Who cares?
50 something.
I'm in the 50s.
Peace.
See you later.